proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
God says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart, and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision." End of quote from Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. This clearly tells us that there's only one creator in the universe that has total control of all that he has created. It tells us that God has a very specific, established plan for everything that he has created. So it is fruitless for human beings to try to find a better way, quote unquote. There is no better way. Anything that we invent when we skirt around what God has established will always render us a failure. It will give us negative results. So we are looking at this topic of what is happening in our world and how the force of Marxism is winning the cultural war in the United States of America. It saddens me to say that, but it is the truth. However, it doesn't have to continue to be that way. The majority of us still believe in the God of the Bible, still have some kind of commitment with him. We have a degree of knowledge of his word, and we just have to speak up and defend God's truth. Because even though we are the majority, when we remain silent or inactive, we become the minority. And then those who are louder than us take over. So we do have a solution. We do have the answer to win this cultural war. We just have to activate ourselves to a greater degree. In this series, we have established that the destruction of Christianity is the real goal of opposing ideologies like Marxism and others. And nothing reveals that more than the persecution against Christians going on globally. It is happening all over the world. The Christian Relief Council President Juliana Tamurazi reports that the organization Open Doors says that 1 out of 9 Christians across the world are being persecuted. When you consider that the world population of Christians is comprised of 2.1 billion, that is quite a large figure of Christians that are being persecuted for their faith. In fact, it is reported that Christian persecution in some parts of the world is close to meeting the international definition of genocide. And of course, genocide is killing off a particular group. They just want to eliminate that group. 80% of those being persecuted for their faith are Christians. So what does that tell you? The main goal is to eradicate Christianity from the face of the earth, Christianity that stands in the way of evil agendas, and it stands in the way of men establishing their value systems as opposed to God's. Totalitarian regimes and oppressive governments and dominant religious leaders, who are the government in many nations anyway, are targeting Christians, either killing them or running them out of their homeland. And the main cause of this is political correctness. Christians are in direct opposition to the laws and the values of men. And if they are vocal, they stand up against that, they are unprofitable for those who want to take over by oppressive means. It is precisely what we have been discussing in this topic, that the eradication of Christianity is the main weapon of choice of the Marxists. In America, the Marxists have attacked from several angles, such as utilizing political correctness to the hilt in academia. It is no secret that the professorship in most of the universities has a Marxist mentality, and that is what they are transferring or teaching to the students. Many students who go in with a conservative mentality come out with a liberal Marxist mentality. And that is the grand contribution that academia gives to these students. What can we say about Hollywood? They are clearly in the Marxist camp. Look at the content of the movies. Would you say that they are upholding traditional values that America was built upon? No, they're not. It is even very difficult now to think of going to theaters. What are you going to go see? Perversion? Cursing? Violence? Fiction that attacks traditional values? It's just filth. Nonsense. What can we say about politics? Listen to the speeches of those who are running for office. They want to grow the government. They want the government to take control of everything. That is clearly Marxism. But if you approach them with that label, they will deny it. But that's what it is, bottom line. And the economy. What can we say about the economy when the government takes away so much of our money? That it's just a matter of time that they are going to demand 100%. What do we do then? We have to wake up now. The brainwashing of our children in public schools is a prime example of how Marxism has attacked us, where they have been very persistent in changing the mentality of our children. It matters not what the parents are teaching their children. The school curriculum comes against the home life, the traditional values, and more we are seeing this force take over our public schools. They rewrote the textbooks and implemented curriculums that would accomplish their goals. They knew targeting the children would be the place to start. They have to create whole new generations with a new mentality, and they've been very patient and consistent. And they have accomplished this to a great degree. Our educational system was our pride and joy in America. I still remember no other nations could compare to the high level of quality education here in America. In truth, our educational system in America was quite solid. Most mothers could stay home and take care of their young children because fathers earned sufficient wages for a decent living. How long ago did we cease to talk that way or believe that way or live that way? Now it seems to be the norm that both parents have to go out of the home to work to make ends meet. That is so false and so wrong, and I realize that the cost of living has gone up. But as long as you have a roof over your head, as long as you have a vehicle to drive and food on your table, are you going to betray the quality of upbringing that you're going to give your children just because you want a better house, a better car, a better neighborhood, better clothes, better vacations? Are your children not more precious than all those things? Back in the 50s and 60s, people were very responsible with their finances, and they did not live beyond their means. Credit was not the way to go, even if you qualified. people believed to do their transactions paying in what is commonly called cash on the barrel. Have you heard that? People preferred to save their money until they could purchase something. They disciplined themselves. They did not live beyond their means. And this expression, cash on the barrel, has been around a long time. Apparently, it derives from the custom of using barrel tops as tables in bars. In such circumstances, customers were required to pay for their drinks immediately. Cash, right here, right now. Literally putting their money on top of the head of a barrel. In other words, it means that you give me cash and I'll give you the product at the time of purchase. No credit, no delivery. People saved up for what they wanted to buy, and this included houses and cars. When was the last time you heard of people saving up to buy a house rather than to apply for loans? Now, we know that that is not detrimental. Number one, if you are going to purchase a house with at least 20% down payment, that assures you that you will not have this humongous mortgage payment. Number two, if you do not take on the purchase of a house, if your debt to income ratio is very high and you're just barely going to squeeze by to make the mortgage payment, you need more breathing room than that. You need to be able to save. You need to be able to not be in so much debt that if you get sick for a week or two and you don't get a paycheck, that you lose everything. So people were a lot more conscientious and responsible when handling their finances. They also made sure that they had savings for emergencies. Who does not have emergencies? If you have to buy a whole new set of tires right now, would you have enough money to do that? And if not, how would that affect you for getting to and from work? People lived differently. Children were taught these principles from a very young age. And I can still remember in elementary school that Tuesdays was our banking day in my elementary school. And let me explain what that was. We were all taught that it was a wise decision to save money every single week. And so each child was given a bank book, a little envelope with string that threaded around a sealer. And every week we would put our money in there, take it to school. A bank monitor would collect all those little envelopes and the teacher would take them to the bank. So each one of us children had a savings account in elementary school. We were taught those things when we were young. How many children are being taught to create a savings account? The parents are not doing it, so it is very probable that the children aren't either. We had the help back then of society, of culture, of schools, of churches, and the world of entertainment as promoters of traditional values. Programming was psychologically sound. And now those programs are made fun of. When people want to refer to the family, they immediately say, well, these are not the days of Ozzie and Harriet, or these are not the days of Father Knows Best. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Many of those values should be in the family life once again. Churches were an important part of our social and national life. It made a difference when people went to church. It made a difference what they were taught. It made a difference that they were expected to apply the biblical principles that they were learning in church. Now it's just done like a ritual. That's what you do on Sundays for an hour and a half, and then you're free and you're done. And you met your quota for complying with what God says. As you can see and compare all that with today, it is evident that culture has almost disappeared. That culture is gone. It is in a small percentage as compared to that it was in the larger percentage. There are those who affirm that the traditional culture of the United States, which had surged through many generations and applied biblical Christian principles, which formed the Western culture, I might add, have been stolen from them. And I use that word stolen accurately because many laws and rulings have been imposed upon us. They never asked us if we wanted to vote in favor of abortion or same-sex marriage, and if we did vote against those things, judges would come and annul our votes because they just have to say that is not constitutional. Never mind that they don't quote the part of the Constitution that they're talking about. The perverted curriculums that are being imposed upon our children are done so without parental consent. And in many cases, parents cannot opt out their children from being exposed to all the filth that is being imparted to them. You want to tell me that is not totalitarian oppression? You want to tell me that is not the government takeover like in the Marxist mentality? That's exactly what it is. In all fairness, I do have to say that society and the church did not discern correctly what was happening. They did not know or choose not to confront, debate, or expose the ideological wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. And that is how we began to lose ground. The negative cultural change of today didn't happen overnight. Neither did it have enough resistance or pushback to restrain it. And so we have no one to blame but ourselves, that now we find ourselves as the underdogs, even though we are still the majority. We have conceded too much ground by default or just plain silence. From its birth, Marxism was an ideology that was destined to fail. Its obsession with destroying Western civilization and its biblical Christian roots blinded them to the illogical culture they sought to implement. Because when you analyze the different aspects and tenets of this ideology, they are not even common sense. They just point to oppression. So they were doomed to fail sooner or later. So why is this ideology resurrecting over and over and over again, and in many instances, gaining greater strength of something that has failed over and over again throughout history? In the beginning of the 20th century, they thought that they had an optimal opportunity to convert Europe to communism when World War I broke out and ruined their plans. Was that God's protection upon the world? No doubt, because of the result. Remember, God is still God of the universe. He's still God of all of his creation. He still has a firm control on what happens here in the world, even though he has to allow human beings to use their free will and make their decisions. But they will never override God's master plan. So World War I broke out and caused this to fail in Europe. But when that failed, it fueled them with an even greater thrust to find a way to implement their absurd ideology by creating different, more appealing terminology to accomplish their original objective. And this is what happens, folks, when evil ideas fail and those who are pushing them continue to have an evil heart that has the inclination to do evil. They don't go away. Those ideas don't go away. They just change terminology and continue moving forward with their evil agenda. Ideas never die. They just regroup, redress, change the terminology, and they keep moving forward. Because the enemy of our souls will never give up until his time is up. There will come a time when he will no longer be able to work as he does in the world today. But in the meantime, he is working. And if one way does not work, he will find another way. But sooner or later, if people allow him, his objectives are fulfilled. Talking about what happened with Marxism in Europe, and when it failed and World War I broke out, the think tanks behind this movement did not give up. And there are names that we should not bypass, much less their writings. We should pay attention. These gentlemen, Antonio Gramsci of Italy, George Lukács of Hungary, independently arrived at the same conclusion, and they became totally convinced that the Christian faith and Western culture was the enemy to overcome. They fixed their sights on this, and that objective has not changed to this day, as we are clearly pointing out. Gramsci and Lukács were joined by Max Horkheimer and Theodore Adorno, and two psychologists by the name of Erich Fromm and Wilhelm Reich, promoters of feminism, and Herbert Marcuse. The new cultural Marxism understood that the revolutionary philosophy would never work in the Western world, which was dominated by Christianity. That is why its ideologues conceived a strategy to destroy moral values by using sexual perversion. And tell me that they have not triumphed with that strategy. It's one of their favorite ideological tools, knowing that with this new brand of sexology, they could penetrate the psychology of Western culture. This new sexual orientation required to include the politically correct ideology and to promote multiculturalism. This would be the new face of cultural Marxism. Does all this sound familiar? That's right. Sex is the new religion in America. It knows no boundaries, and it is being observed, misused, and it drags everybody that it can in its path. All of the men mentioned above formed part of the famous Frankfurt School in Germany. As Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party came into power, those at the Frankfurt School had to flee from Germany. And they established and reconvened, guess where? In New York. During World War II, this group from the Frankfurt School found great acceptance and allies in the world of entertainment in Hollywood. Hello? And proceeded to influence the media, the schools, and even churches with their Marxist cultural ideas. They did a good job, didn't they? When we hear the term critical theory in the world of academia, it's a term implemented by this Marxist group to condition students' minds with a process that would cause them to put into question every institution that based itself on traditional values, meaning Christian values. It is of special interest to point out that any who were not in agreement with their political correctness began to be called fascists. What is it that we are hearing about in the news? All these protests? Anybody who disagrees is a fascist. What is a fascist? Fascism is a form of government which is a type of one-party dictatorship. Fascists are against democracy. Fascism puts nation and often race above the individual. It stands for a centralized government headed by a dictator. Historically, fascist governments tend to be militaristic and racist. And this is what our president is getting accused of. Why? Because they cannot manipulate him like they have manipulated previous presidents. But do they really have merit in what they are saying? The Marxist motto, "the end justifies the means," continues to be the Marxist foundation to conquer any nation. They stop at nothing. Most people, whether politicians, businessmen, academics, clergy, and society in general, who are in accordance with political correctness, multiculturalism, tolerance, and labeling fascists, all who do not agree with them, are not aware that they are subservient to the Marxist cultural agenda. You tell Christians who are endeavoring to be politically correct. They defend multiculturalism, tolerance. If you tell them they are being subservient to the Marxist cultural agenda, they won't believe it. And this is why it is undeniable that up to now, Marxist culturalism is winning the war. But if you ask people who defend political correctness, multiculturalism, and intolerance, or tolerance, if they are Marxists, they will definitely say, no. Little do they know, they are being used as useful idiots to accomplish Marxist goals. If we want to see the efforts of the Marxist culturalists fail, we must do everything within our power to expose who has been behind and how and why of the promotion of decadence and destruction of the traditional biblical Christian culture. What agenda has been behind that? We should not be intimidated by their grand economic power or by the control they have in public schools, universities, media, the world of entertainment, industry, politics, government, and even in various Christian denominations. That's right. We can still count on the greatest resource we begin with to turn this cultural war around that almost seems lost. What is that resource? 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. End of quote. This is the formula, folks. What we can't do in centuries, God can do if we meet his requirements. So let us humble ourselves before God, pray and seek his wisdom, abandon our evil behavior. People of God are the greatest resource we have. This is where we should start so God can intervene in our favor. And secondly, we must do everything we can to show that we do have a better alternative to rebuild the social structure the cultural Marxists have destroyed. Not everything depends on God. God is wanting to use us. He wants obedience to his plan, and he has delineated it for the human race for us to follow. That is how we win this cultural war against Marxism that has gained so much ground. But with God, nothing is impossible, and he can help us turn this around a lot faster than we may think. Thank you for joining us in this topic, and we'll see you next time. And let's pray for a biblical reformation in America.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.